Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who I'm very excited to talk to. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hello, my name is Andrew Taven, and I'm a comedian and writer, and a lot of that writing has been the personal finance space. I actually got my financial educator certification from the National Financial Educators Council. And I think it's expired, and so I'm probably supposed to renew it, but I don't think that changed in the last couple of years. So I think it still counts.
Excellent. My understanding of personal finance, I feel, is pretty specific in a lot of ways. But I think one of the most important things that people overlook with their personal finance is the number of credit cards that they should have open. And I think that people think I should have as many credit cards as possible or as few credit cards as possible. But I think what most people really need to be doing is credit surfing more. You start with one credit card. You get as much credit on that credit card as possible. You just fill it up with as many purchases as you want, the necessities, that new scarf that you've always wanted, those leather gloves that you've been looking at with the cashmere lining, very nice. And then what you do is when it gets really high, people are going to be like, oh, this person, they know what they're doing with credit. And then you're going to get the introductory rate, the 0%
transfer. Did you spend too much on the cards?
Yeah. You spent too much on the cards. Basically, you spend as much money as you possibly can. And then other credit card companies see that and they're like, we got to get this person. This is too good of a person to pass up. So they give you those introductory rates. And so that way you can move some of that credit or all of that credit to this new card and use that original card again and basically not be paying any interest on that money you moved over. And I think that a lot of people just don't do that enough and then don't open another card once that card gets too full, et cetera, to the point where like you need to get in the course of 2-3 years, 2 to 5 cards a year, move as much information and money around as you possibly can. And then I think it's also important, a lot of people talk about how you should have spreadsheets. I think one of the most important things is just to have an abacus and have each little bead of the abacus actually represent each one of your paychecks and just move each bead as you get them in. And that's all you really got to think about. You're getting money in. You don't have to think about the money you're putting out. And people think that you need to focus on retirement. You shouldn't necessarily be focusing on retirement. Not everybody's going to retire. Maybe you want to work for the rest of your life. Maybe you're going to get hit by a city bus and you're going to be able to sue the city at some point. And if that's the case, you're set for life. And you just have to do that when you're young and young enough to where you can get basically where you can heal up effectively, where you could travel or you could do the things that you wanted to do, joining high society. And I think that that's something that a lot of people, they wait too long to get hit by the city bus. And then they're in their 40s, 50s. And then they kind of walk a little funny. They want to go to Greece, but they can't do as many things as well. They try to drink the wine in Italy, but the tannins start making their jaw hurt because they got TMJ because the stress of thinking about their finances for too long because they didn't facilitate getting hit by that city bus earlier.
Yeah, and they got bus jaw.
Exactly. They got bus jaw, that stress from the bus. And then I think that one other thing that people think about is subway turnstile jumping. They think like, oh, I'm going to save 290 or whatever it is by jumping over this turnstile. But then like there's a police officer, they're waiting for you to jump over that. And that just fills them with too much joy. So it's better to pay that 290, pay for your bus, pay for your subway. And then when the cop tries to bust somebody else, that's when you go over and you pickpocket them. Mm-hmm. That's the ideal. There's a wonderful secondary market for the turnstile jumpers. They're going to put down their backpack. You pick up that backpack, you walk away. They're looking for their wallet. You say, hey, let me help you. I'll grab that thing from you. I'll grab that speaker that you're trying to put through the turnstile. And you walk away with that speaker and you resell it. And that's just a great way. Secondary income is what really people need to think about. And not everybody can get on OnlyFans. Not everybody can get on things where they can work 2 or 3 days a week with their side hustle. There aren't enough multi-level marketing schemes to sustain us all. So sometimes some of us have to find our hustles in just picking up backpacks that are left on the train and hoping that it's actually just filled with money. Now, based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say is accurate?
I would say, so I want to say at the beginning that this, don't take anything I'm saying as financial advice for legal purposes right here, but it's maybe general advice that people could consider or not. I would say my professional capacity, I'm not going to sign off on any of the criminal activities.
Okay.
That's mostly me covering my own ass. So I'm not even going to comment on the effectiveness of those techniques. That's something that I'm only commenting on my level of endorsement, which is zero.
Okay.
I think for so it's interesting, the card surfing, I would say, is not completely accurate, but it's not. There are elements of credit card use that I think can be sort of, I think it's interesting because you see sometimes, I've seen at least online, apparently outside of the US, credit card use is much rarer, just based off of, I have no idea if that's true. I that's just what I've seen, like, online discourse of Europeans being like, oh, the American mind loves its points and earning points for flights. But, and part of this, I think, is because of our credit score system that we have. I'm supposed to give you an evaluation of how accurate it was. I'm going to say it's 3 out of 4 crimes.
3 out of 4 crimes? Okay, great. Yeah.
So the
are these blue collar crimes or white collar crimes?
I mean, I think pickpocketing is blue collar.
Okay.
Right? Is it? I suppose it's right. It's the difference is how many pockets you're picking all at once, right, man? You know what I'm talking about? You pick one pocket, that's blue collar. You pick 1,000 pockets, suddenly it's white collar, and you get a show on USA or whatever.
Exactly. You're now a mentalist as opposed to a pickpocket.
Yeah, exactly. You've become a Dr. House.
Exactly.
I would say, again, it's about credit card use. The way that our credit system works, which is a relative, well, I guess if you want to think of the 70s as relatively recent, that's where you kind of had standardization. I was actually a feather in my cap. I'm not sure if I am anymore, but I was at one point one of the top citations, an article I wrote for the Op5 Financial Sense blog OpU. OpFi's OpU blog was one of the top Wikipedia citations.
Very cool.
I know. Yeah. Very, very exciting. That's how you made the big times for history of credit scores. Actually, I'm a little curious. Let's find out live.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Check that out.
History of credit scores, Wikipedia. I haven't checked it in a few years. Credit score. There should be a page for like history of credit scores in America, I want to say, unless maybe they could dense that here. United States credit score in the United States. I think this might have been the page. Let me search Andrew Taven Wikipedia. See if that pops up.
Sorry, getting off topic. No. This is totally fine. How much does Wikipedia, like, the charity aspect of personal finance, like how much should people be donating to Wikipedia to make sure that their citations stay on Wikipedia?
Yeah. Oh, I had to do terrible, terrible things to get it up there. So I feel I don't want to outline all of the back alley stuff I was doing to make that happen, but to speak actually, I mean, charitably, people, the average person, there's a lot of talk of like wealthy people and how they'll use charitable donations to get tax write-offs. obviously it's worth saving your charitable receipts because you might as well get those tax write-offs. But for the average person, it's not like you're gonna probably be able to change your financial outcome too much just from that. Though it's obviously a nice thing to do for good causes anyway, and I might as well get the write-off.
That makes a lot of sense.
I say one of the big things in that make up your credit score, let's see if I remember this off the top of my head, because I had to write about the five factors that make up your credit score so many times. There is your credit history, which I believe is the largest factor. And that is accounts, that is payments you've made, on-time payments. Unfortunately, a lot of payments will show up if they're late. They'll show up as a negative on your credit score, but certain things won't necessarily show up as a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your credit mix, your account lengths, which is how long the accounts you've had are open. Credit mix is the different kinds of accounts. Your open credit, like your credit limits, and it's the fifth one. Five part. Let me look up Andrew Taven, five parts of credit score, because you could see my article by on. Let's see, this is an article I wrote in. Oh, who can tell? Because they updated it a couple months ago. I was laid off from here in February 2022. So I guess they're still updating stuff.
I mean, it does take time. One of the things that I think people overlook and is the difficulty of updating information online about those writers. I think that, like, if you're a cited writer on Wikipedia and you've written all of these articles, they're gonna, you know, kind of want to keep you around, so to speak, and keep that information up, saying that, like, oh yeah, this person is one of our writers, even if you have been gone from that organization for a while.
Yes, and that does seem to be the case. So, okay, I refreshed my memory. It is payment history, amounts owed, length of credit history, new credit, and your credit mix. And so the biggest factor is payment history. And mm-hmm. so I think some people don't necessarily, you hear this sometimes, that people go, oh, I want to get a house or I want to get a car loan or something, and I've never been late on a bill, so that should be easy, right? It should be easy for me to get credit. But you, without having a credit history, you might actually struggle. You might need a cosigner. And so this is a bit tangential to the credit surfing suggestion mm-hmm. you offered earlier, but one of the important things is to establish a credit history. And one of the best and most straightforward ways to do that is to have a credit card, put what you're going to buy anyway. Don't use it. I would not recommend using it to make purchases you can't afford. But for just about anything you would purchase, you can use that credit card. And then, and this is a very important part, pay off the bill in full every month. Because if you do that, you won't carry a balance month to month, which means that you won't accrue any interest payments. So you can essentially use a credit card for free.
Right.
That depends. Some credit cards come with annual fees or other factors, but a lot of credit cards, if you pay off the bill in full, because a lot of people end up paying the minimum and they'll end up racking up the balance, they keep gaining interest, and you can get yourself into a not situation. When people talk about having tons of credit card debt, presumably it's because they were not paying the bill in full. They were carrying a balance month to month. They had interest start accruing. And that is going to, A, be a drag on your credit score, B, be a problem with your finances in general, because that minimum payment amount is going to keep growing month after month, and you're just going to end up in what some people call a debt spiral. That's not the fun kind of spiral, like a spirograph, like that one episode of Simpsons.
Right.
Find that guy. So not like that, unfortunately. Now, you mentioned having a lot of credit cards. Having multiple credit cards, again, assuming that you are paying off in full every month, all the cards you have is actually can be beneficial towards building your credit because, as I said, one of those is credit mix and credit limits also. You are going to be in a better position credit score wise if you have a higher credit limit or more lines of credit, which can be more credit cards, that's not necessarily saying like, oh, go open as many cards as you can or whatever. But for the most part, having multiple credit cards, again, always going to underline, to put a point on this, as long as you are paying off all of your balances in full every month, can be beneficial in multiple ways. Different cards offer different kind of points and rewards or cash back on different sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And you can, unless you really believe that you have a problem, either if you have very irregular finances or if you have an issue with spending, if that you personally, some people have an issue with, they have a credit card and it doesn't feel like real money, they know they're going to spend more than they can afford. And certainly it is the worst thing possible would be racking up a bunch of credit card debt that you cannot pay off and gaining more and more interest. That's just going to be a bad situation. I mean, that's not the worst thing possible there's in life, but mm-hmm. as far as credit card use, that's probably one of the worst things possible. The best thing possible would be responsible credit card use, because again, you get those, you build up your credit score, you get those bonuses and points and everything. And then in between that, if you don't trust yourself or for some other reason, you don't think you'll be able to do responsible credit card use, you could, for example, get a secured credit card, which is a credit card that has a certain cash amount attached to it as collateral. Mm-hmm. And you have a very limited credit card balance. So you could do that. Some people do that early on. Mm-hmm. It's a way to get a credit card, even if you can't qualify for one. If you want to build up your credit, we would not have to worry as much about risking carrying a balance. It is. So the credit surfing point is, although maybe a little cavalier in the way you suggested it, mm-hmm. is not inherently in and of itself. The idea of transferring your credit card debt to a new card, if you're able to transfer it all to a new card that has an introductory rate, is not necessarily a bad idea all of the time. If it's okay. Something you're maybe doing once, because you really have a plan, you're cracking down, you're going to be able to do it, and you won't be able to pay everything off in full, but let's say you have a 6-month no interest rate, right, with this new credit card that you qualify for, and you say, well, I can't pay $5,000 in debt all at once, and you have to be very careful about how these things work, because a lot of them, if you don't pay it all off, it's entirely possible that when that introductory rate or lack of a rate expires, it can retroactively add in all the interest you would have had to pay.
Oh yeah, that would not be ideal, I'm sure.
Yeah, so you do need to be very careful about that. It's the kind of plan where it's really has to be something you're doing in a very structured and planned way, where you go, okay, I can qualify this car for this car with an introductory rate. I can't pay $5,000 all at once, but I know I can pay it off in 3 months. I'm going to really be living lean for the next 3 months, barely add any expenses, hopefully maybe just pay for those expenses in cash, put down or some debit card, whatever. And in 3 months, I'm going to pay $1,500, $1,500, and $2,000 before that introductory rate runs out.
Mm-hmm.
But you're sort of playing musical chairs with your cards and just having a bigger and bigger balance. And then you say, oh, I'm going to get a no rate card and keep doing that. And they go, well, you owe too much. That's 30% of your credit score is your amounts owed. You owe too much debt. You're rejected. You can't get a new card. And now you're left holding like that Mario Party game with the bomb or whatever. You're left holding the exploding bomb. So that's something you need to be careful about.
Absolutely. But, Andrew, yeah. Unfortunately, we are out of time.
Okay.
Yeah. But
I hope I helped.
I'm sure you helped quite a few people. If people wanted to learn more about personal finance or wanted to learn more about you, where would you recommend that they go?
Yeah, for me, definitely go to andrewtaven.com. You can see where I'm doing shows. I think we're going to have you on the December 7th show at 5:30. That's a Thursday at the Murder Mystery Comedy Show at Young Ethel's in Park Slope. So people should come out to that. I have some other shows before that, but hey, that one, they can hear both of us. They can see both of us. So that's a plan. And also it's at 5:30. So sometimes not a lot of people are out there at 5:30. Thursday. We'll see how we do in the future, but hopefully you, the listener, will be there.
Yeah.
I mean, for credit, a lot of this stuff, truth of the matter is I'm writing still for, right now, a site called Own Up. I'm writing some articles for Discover, though those ones I don't think my name's attached to them anyway. I'm relatively if you're going to see a comedian, come see me. Go to andrewtaven.com. You can also watch the Crunch Time Talk Show, the web series I did with Alex Attack. I think it's funny and holds up. So check those out. But if you're looking for finance writing, you certainly could look at articles I've written for OpU or for Own Up or Discover. But I also am not super attached to you doing that. You could, a lot of sites like NerdWallet, Bankrate, tend to have pretty reliable advice. If you look at like the blogs, the credit score blogs, that's straight from the source. You're getting answers there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if someone has like a very specific and pressing issue, the number one thing I think for building your credit score is just, assuming you aren't already in trouble, is have a credit card or a couple credit cards. Only spend the money on what you would buy anyway. Pay off the balance in full every single month. And that's a good way to build up your credit score without causing trouble. But yeah, those sites I mentioned for other kinds of advice you could be looking for. I mean, retirement-wise, I'll say that because I know we have to finish up, but you mentioned retirement. Mm-hmm. If you're lucky enough to have a 401k at your job, do up to whatever they match, because that's money that you're not going to get otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And retirement certainly seems like it seems so far away, and yet I don't know, people have always thought that they're like, things are wild, is it even worth it to save for retirement? And then they make it to retirement and they're like, I wish I had more money, I guess. So
right, and then you know, what do you do then?
You get hit by a bus.
You get hit by a bus.
Exactly.
Excellent. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me today. I feel like I learned quite a bit, and I hope everybody did as well.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I hope I was helpful.
Absolutely. My name's Matt Storrs, and this has been Mattsplaining. Quick shout out to Ryan Lawson, who made the theme music for Mattsplaining. He's part of Beat Blender Studios, which can be found at Beat Blender Studios on Instagram and TikTok. Or if you're in the market for some amazing music, you can contact him directly at beatblenderstudios@gmail.com.